Vinny.
Hi, Nancy.
Welcome to episode 77 of the Front Porch Book Club.
The Front Porch Book Club is a podcast that meets twice a month.
We like to dig deep into the relationship between characters and the worlds they live in.
Grab your book and iced tea and join us on the front porch.
So, Linny, it's our May book, and you know what that means?
It's Mother's Day month. That's what you like to say.
That is what I like to say.
We get a whole month.
That's right. Well, we've done a mom-related book in May the last couple years, and this year's no different. Our book is Stories for My Kids, Learning to Yodel and Other Life Lessons. This book is a memoir written by Eileen Donovan. When she was 87 years old, she decided to write this book about her life after her husband Orville died, and that was in 2022.
This is such a sweet and interesting book because she grew up during the Great Depression and World War II, and she was a mom, and she had all of those experiences and seen all of those changes over the course of her life. Eileen was born in Colorado and still calls the Rocky Mountains her true home. But as a young girl, she and her parents left Colorado and moved to Missouri, where Eileen has lived ever since.
So we learned about this book from our beloved cousin, Lori, who is Eileen's niece. And Lori is mentioned in the book, as well as
our cousin,
Nate. Lori is married to Nate. And his whole sermon from Orville's funeral is in this book. So that was exciting.
And we've heard Nate's funerals before, and every single one of them, just a beautiful story of a person's life. And I think she thought a lot of it to put the entire sermon in her book.
That's true. We've also heard Nate's weddings, so a little more joyous situation.
Oh, true.
Weddings and funerals. Nate does a wonderful job.
Yes. Well, Nancy, this book is over the course of decades of time.
Yes.
There were some very sweet parts of this book. I have to say that my favorite parts of it were her growing up and her mischievous aunt, Beverly, but it was more like a cousin. We would call the person a cousin because they were just a year or two apart and they grew up together.
Right.
Beverly and Eileen had some mischievous things that they did growing up. I loved when they snuck out of the house late at night and went to the crabby neighbor's house to dig up the "kids aren't in my yard" sign. And then they got caught and they ran away to Billy's house. And Billy lived in a cabin, and they thought Billy was a man, but she was a woman. And then they were so shocked to know that she had a husband that they forgot all about the scary, crotchety old neighbor next door.
Yeah.
But I loved Billy's story, too. I have to say, I found Billy to be very interesting because, again, it harkens back to this time. Long time ago, she used to ride her horse to town. Mm-hmm. They put a placard on her, like one of those sandwich boards for the grocery store.
And she was a Native American woman.
And her picture is in the book. And she looks like a female. So I don't know what those girls were thinking. If they thought they were thrown by the Billy.
Uh-huh. That's funny. I thought exactly the same thing. I thought, well, she looks like a woman to me. I don't know.
Yeah. So I love those stories of them growing up and riding the streetcar. And their mom pinned their tickets for the shows on their clothes so they wouldn't lose them. That sounds like something a mom would do back then.
And she would send Beverly and Eileen off on their own as pretty little girls
kids
to take the streetcar into Denver and go see a movie.
Yeah. Now, Denver wasn't as big as it was.
But still. Different times. Yeah. I would not be sending my seven-year-old with money pinned to his shirt in a streetcar in a big city. No,
No, I think I walked mine to the bus stop and stayed until I was sure he was on the bus and headed in the right direction. That's what I did.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what was your favorite parts, Nance?
Well, I think like you, I really love those growing up years. And maybe it's because they are so different from our experiences. It's just seemed remarkable when they lived in Aurora, and that's a suburb just east of Denver. It's in the Denver metro area. I mean, I think now you would drive around Aurora and drive into Denver and not know where the division point is. But at that time, Aurora was a very rural community. They had a chicken house, an outhouse. They were surrounded by the countryside. They lived next door to their grandparents. There was actually an empty lot between them, but basically next door to their grandparents. Their grandparents in Aurora, again, in Aurora, had two horses and a goat. And then this large garden that Eileen could never really write about very positively because she and Beverly spent a lot of miserable time hoeing the garden, shelling peas, doing all sorts of hard labor. And not her favorite thing.
No. I really wonder how much time they actually did spend in that garden. Maybe 20 minutes a day or something, but
yeah,
maybe more. I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly not enjoyable.
It wasn't the highlight of her. She was more mischievous than that.
She was a tomboy, self-declared.
Yeah, she like climbed everything, I think. They said she just climb. Yeah, she was a climber.
So I'll tell you, though, there was one anecdote in the story, again, when Eileen was little, that has kind of haunted me ever since. So I will read this excerpt from the book and then tell you why I thought it was so haunting. Okay, so this is what she writes. I idolized my father. What is it with girls and their dads? But my incessant shadowing didn't elicit the desired tender response. One day in frustration, he whirled around and said, "Do you always have to follow me?" No, I sure didn't. And I sure didn't much after that. He broke my tender heart that day.
That's so sad.
Oh, I know. And I felt bad for her, but I also felt bad for her father. Parents are so busy. And my goodness, her parents were busy. They both worked full time and had Eileen to take care of. They were hard scrabble. They had very difficult lives. And I'm sure it was just one moment of a little bit of frustration. And that is something that even now, as an 87-year-old woman, she remembers how that really hurt. And you know her father would never have said that to her if he realized the hurt that that would have caused her. And I just think, oh, as parents, you try so hard to always be loving to your child, and yet we say and do things that unintentionally hurt our little ones.
Yeah, it takes one sentence. Mm-hmm. And that's a little scar right there. A big scar, I think, for her.
I think so.
I just felt really bad for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Were there any parts of the book that have really stuck with you since reading it?
That I do remember. And I thought that was very sad. But I'm glad she included it in her book, mm-hmm, because I think there's a good lesson there to be learned, mm-hmm, and just to remember how your little ones, they're so tender.
Yeah.
And the words that you say to them are very important, mm-hmm, every day.
Yeah.
What was your question, Nancy? I'm still like, oh, it's such a sad story.
Is there any part of the book that really stuck with you since reading it?
I'm amazed at the flexibility of the different characters. Her father and her have this incredible flexibility about being able to do many different jobs, mm-hmm, very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she said, well, he just would quit a job. They would go on vacation. That's what people did back then.
Right.
Oh, we're going to go on vacation. I'm going to quit my job. We're going to hit the road. We'll come back. I'll get a new job.
Yeah.
So he had lots of different jobs. Mm-hmm. And then I marvel at her ability to transform herself many different times and many different ways. I mean, like, she's the swimming pool director for a couple of summers.
Yeah.
She is like in charge of the youth group at church. Mm-hmm. And she's got three kids.
Four kids in 3.5 years.
I mean, so she's always doing all sewing. Oh, well, I do all the sewing for the plays at school. It is unbelievable how much this woman does, but there's still that kind of flexibility or that know-how of, oh, well, I can do that. She marries a guy the same way. He is kind of bouncing around from job to job. And then he sells insurance and he does really good at that. And he stays at that for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how flexible they're, what they're doing and involved with. I think is a standout for me. I was just like, she's doing what now? This is amazing.
Yeah.
I think I found like one thing I could do pretty good at, you know? And she was a great mom. And they entertained too a lot and had really good friends. It's like, this is a pretty full life, I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
So reading this book, Nance, it made me think about what moms might like their children to know about their lives growing up and who they were. Because kids see us as the mom. They don't mm-hmm. see the other aspects of our lives. She created this very special book for her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, so that they would get to see this part of who she was. Have you ever thought about writing a book like that?
I have thought of doing a memoir like this, just so children and grandchildren might know a little bit about their ancestors' histories. Like, what was it that the people who they might not even know, what were their lives like? I just think memoirs are such an interesting way to enter into someone else's life and understand it a little bit better.
Well, how far would you go back?
Well, I like how Eileen went back to her grandparents even. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I want to ask her about is how she uncovered those stories, or whether they were just stories that were well known in the family that she just documented. But I like that. I like reaching back as far as you can, because that makes the past accessible in a way that otherwise it would not be. I mean, those stories mm-hmm. would just be lost if it wasn't for someone documenting them. How about you? Have you ever thought about writing down stories?
Not until I read this book.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about the 1900s. There's such incredible change during that time.
Yes.
When you're riding a horse and then you're like sending somebody to the moon, that's just a big change.
Yeah.
So it's hard to look at the future and think that anything that you're doing now is that different, because it's normal for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be cherished, I think, in future generations. Mom did that. She wrote down our mom wrote down some of her memories, and her granddaughter, our niece, put that in a book.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some stories from her growing up, which would have been about the same time.
Her mom wrote some stories down, and we have those as well.
Yeah.
Might be worth keeping that line going.
That might be. I don't know that my life is. I never broke out of the house as a little girl and stole signs from that crotchety neighbor lady. I never did anything like that. I lived a pretty sweet little life. I didn't get in trouble too much. So,
mm-hmm. But don't you think one of the things that's so sweet about this is just the story of how she and Orville got together, for example? There's nothing dramatic about it, but just this wonderful story of how they got together and how much she loved him. That's worth documenting.
That's another highlight of the book. Yeah, she's a little girl, but boy, their love story endures. And you can tell she still loves him to this day.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. She must really miss him and love him. And what mm-hmm. a wonderful person he sounds like he was. she adored him. And that's just a very sweet and charming part of this book.
It really is.
And he tolerated her because she sounds like she was a little bit of a powerhouse. And she had matching clothes. And he would tolerate, you know, the matching sweaters and stuff like that. He had to be pretty good-hearted.
It does sound like he is very sweet. And he was a Paul Newman lookalike, according to the people who met him. So that's interesting.
Well, I guess he was pretty good-looking.
I guess he was.
And girls flirted with him.
Oh, yes.
He was just kind back and never flirted, you know. But in her mind, she had quite a catch.
Yes. Very sweet.
And that was so sweet.
I loved all the photos that she included from the earliest ones of her grandparents, but all the way through, and when she had teenagers on the phone, and just, I thought those were so fun as well.
Yeah. Very, very fun. What a treasure for her family. How about it?
Absolutely. You know, the other thing that this made me think of, do you remember at Uncle Delmer's funeral? And this would be our cousin Nate's father. We were talking about Nate, but also all of our other cousins, our Cole cousins, their dad. At the reception after his funeral, they played an audio recording that they had interviewed him and played that. And it was so wonderful hearing his voice. And that's something I've done with our mom. I've interviewed her and recorded some of her memories growing up as well.
I forgot that you did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's also another way to capture someone's experiences that isn't as maybe onerous as writing a book. I think a lot of people would say writing a book is just not something they could do, but you can always interview an older relative and just ask them questions and record it.
Yeah, that was a really good idea that they did. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that you did that with mom, and that was good that you did that too. How easy it is to do that nowadays, because I just hooked her up on the computer and we Zoomed.
I have some more questions for her, though. We've got to get her back in the computer so we can get some more questions answered.
Okay, that sounds good. You know, Nance, I think this is so Eileen. I like that she included recipes in the back of that book.
That was great.
Isn't that cool? Because that, again, is another thing that, hey, let's make this recipe. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that she did that. I wonder if she thought of that herself or if her children came up with, oh, mom, you should put some recipes in there. We all love your whatever.
Yeah, that was super fun. And that also is just another glimpse into who a person is, I think. What kind of food did they make that they were known for?
Yeah. Those recipes that people wrote down, that was something you'd give people at a shower. Like, I have Aunt Dottie's pickle recipe.
Yes.
These are things that you send down through the generations. And I think it's a really nice keepsake for her family and the children and the children's children. Now, people, I think, like me, it's like, okay, I know how to make that. And you use a recipe or you don't, or you go on Google.
Right.
Well, I love this little book, but I'm really looking forward to meeting the lady behind this book.
I think she's a firecracker.
I'm expecting her to be.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Our website is frontporchbookclub.com.
Our episodes come out twice a month on the first and third Wednesday of each month.
See you next time, Lenny.
Okay, see you then.
Ha 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 ha.